Midway through Gristle's level, Lily compares the Mindscape to an amusement park.
We're chasing Gristle Melon, remember? Not having fun at an amusement park.
This line, throwaway as it may seem, encapsulates the design philosophy of Psychonauts as a whole. It all goes back to Tim Schafer's days working for Ron Gilbert on the Monkey Island games. According to Schafer, Monkey Island is based on the Disneyland ride Pirates of the Caribbean. More specifically, it's based on the idea of jumping off the boat and running around the ride. 12 years after saying as much, Schafer ran wild with the idea. Schafer continues to explain how he thinks the narrative-based rides of Disneyland are very closely tied to games. He compares some games, such as Rail Shooters, to the Haunted House ride at Disneyland, or the games he works on he thinks as being more like the kind of haunted house you go to for Halloween. If a skeleton jumps out at you, then it is done to rattle the brain as well as the bones. The thrills are strung together with a plot. They are not just there for show.
Who's that?
From the moment you step into the great outdoors, the player is granted access to a map. If the world is a theme park, then this would be the map of attractions. The attractions are depicted in a hand-drawn, hand-colored style. Less navigational aid and more fun souvenir. The map's main purpose is to inspire a childlike sense of adventure. Rather, the landscape is the navigational aid. Notice how the attractions are arranged around a hub, in this case the Mother Lobe. This is very much how Walt Disney arranged his theme park. For Walt, the hub creates reassurance. It gives people a sense of orientation, he said. They know where they are at all times, and it saves a lot of walking. In Disneyland, the hub is in front of the castle. From this spot, the four lands pinwheel outward, each one preceded by a formal gateway. The waterfall in the questionable area is framed by a wooden gateway. From a zoomed-out perspective, the area acts like a theme park within a theme park. Other examples of hubs include the Heptadome and the central island of Cassie's Waterfront. For the latter, ribbons of ink link the peripheral islands to the central island, lending a sense of navigational reassurance to an otherwise messy sprawl of a level. Hidden in the attractions of Disneyland are familiar silhouettes. Three circles, one large and two small, form the profile of the mouse. Fans have written books detailing the locations of these so-called hidden Mickeys, strewn all throughout the park. The equivalent of a hidden Mickey in Psychonauts would be a hidden spiral. This curly motif can be found embedded in nature, as well as architecture, and even in some character designs. Taking a leaf from the Disney School of Design, each character in Psychonauts has their own distinctive silhouette. The Aquato family is a fine case in point.
This would be easier if you didn't use so much hair grease.
It'd be easier if your head weren't so pointy.
When exploring the questionable area, the player will stumble across most secrets in the outskirts of the map, as well as in the higher-up locations. The whole area has been designed with strong vertical elements in mind. Most of the important story quests can be completed on ground level. In the discussion of this level, the lead designer mentions his love of secrets within secrets in Doom. Nested secrets too are buried within the levels of Psychonauts, like in this alcove hidden behind a sign within the cave. To get curious players on the correct trail, game designers will drop little breadcrumbs near the entrance. These could be items to collect, such as these pieces of titanium on the branching path to a small cave. Or they could be small hurdles, like this fast travel hatch which leads to a tree stump, and so on. Walt Disney used strong vertical elements to represent each section of the park. The term he used to describe a tall visual target was a weenie. Story goes that he coined the term upon realizing that his dog would follow a hot dog or weenie wherever it went. In Disneyland, weenies are beckoning fingers used to draw visitors to certain attractions and lead them logically through the park. The ultimate weenie is the castle in the middle of the park. The questionable area has two strikingly tall visual magnets. The first is the lumberjack statue beside the diner, based on the Paul Bunyan-style fiberglass models from the 60s, known as Muffler Men. The second is the gravity-defying waterfall framed by the entrance arch. Other noticeable weenies in the game take the form of Ford Crawler. Just like in theme parks, these landmarks are not always meant to be reached. An instance of a secondary weenie is this leaning tower perched on the edge of a cliff. When entering the gouge, the building draws players towards it, before the path sinks left towards the swamp. Artificial facades abound in theme parks, and in video games too. Crystal's level takes full advantage of the false front. The ride is based on It's a Small World, in form and song, but with a quasi-Russian twist. More relevant to the story, the ride is based on the concept of the Potemkin village, that is a sham village. The term Potemkin generally refers to anything presented for the purpose of propaganda. The contrived nature of Crystal's story is laid bare when players go behind the scenes. Step inside Cinderella's castle and a series of large mosaic murals awaits. Each mural tells a chapter of Cinderella's story, from her humble servant origins to her marriage with Prince Charming. The most eye-catching mural in Psychonauts 2 is to be found in the Motherlobe. It showcases the Psychic Seven. The portraits hint at each member's background and psychic talent. The stained glass windows of the Heptadome share some of the same visual motifs. In such a way, the dome's exterior complements the Motherlobe mural. Nona's level uses knitted murals to relate her memories. Like with Crystal's mindscape, the story's flimsiness is conveyed through visual metaphor. Her memories have literally been woven together, as if to say they have been carefully fabricated. However, the strands are not tightly held together, and so start to unravel. Theme parks use textures to convey setting and age. For example, the Epcot Center uses geometric metal surfaces to evoke a shiny futurist atmosphere. The Haunted Mansion, meanwhile, uses the sharp angles of Gothic architecture to evoke a feeling of ancient menace. The Motherlobe is a retro-futurist utopia in the brain-shaped bubble. The hallway to the central room is separated at intervals by metallic sliding doors, each set opening in its own unique way. The nerve center is full of monochromatic screens and cartoonish consoles with hundreds of blinking white lights, taking inspiration from the spy headquarters and 60s spy show The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Everything is suffused with an aquamarine glow, highlighted by the odd strip of pinkish purple. These are the Psychonauts' colors, and the bubble is more like a goldfish bowl. Those colors too can be found in the gulch, except the surfaces are grungier. The boardwalks are mottled planks of wood, occasionally infested with algae. The paths are broken patches of dirt, grass, and bits of stone. In front of a small stepped seating area sits a Volkswagen-style van. Its painted colors are orange and white, although you wouldn't know it. The exterior is covered wheel to roof in dirt and grime. Even the leaves in this area seem to have aged, taking on a plum red hue. When moving from one land to the next, the transition should be smooth, like a well-done cross dissolve. Take the border between the Wild West-style Frontierland and the rocky Batu of Galaxy's Edge. Inside a tunnel, the wooden railroad ties of the former seamlessly connect to the striated rock of the latter. Look down at the ground, and the line that separates the two lands is an asymmetric wave. Transitions can be made all the smoother by taking into account the settings of the bordering lands. For example, the Haunted Mansion at Tokyo Disneyland is situated between Frontierland and Fantasyland, halfway between Old World American architecture and fancifully ornate European piles. In the Psychonauts sequel, the Forbidden Forest transports the player from the civilized world to the ancient primitive world. In the gulch can be found an exploded science lab, bloated bog plants, and the nature-inclined outcasts of the Psychic Seven. The questionable area, situated halfway between the mother lobe and the gouge, further accommodates the shift from the tech-driven headquarters to wild swampland. The border between two lands should be amorphous, as opposed to straight-edged, to subtly shift the player into a new space. For example, the pathway between the Heptadome and Cassie's hideout gradually merges materials to usher the player into bee-infested territory. Here the rustic stone walkway seems to crumble away beneath the player's feet as they once again enter nature's domain. Some of the most magical transitions occur in Bob's Bottles. Stepping into the mouth of a giant glass bottle shifts the player into a messy kitchen environment. The transition is very quick and very subtle, taking place in the space of a few seconds, so we will slow it down to see how the trick is done. Paying attention first to the surrounding walls, one notices how the round mouth of the bottle skews into a squarish opening. A floor gradually emerges, takes clearer shape by looking ahead. The glass floor of the bottle gives way to carpet. The wavy edge of the carpet demarcates the kitchen interior. The splash-like pattern and off-white color makes the carpet look like a puddle of stale spilt milk. Meanwhile, walls emerge on the sides. A few scattered planks of lopsided wood soon straighten out and multiply to become the kitchen walls. These are just a few examples of how Psychonauts 2 uses theme park design to create a believable fantasy world. If you've spotted any other examples, or wish to share your favourite eye-bending moments from the game, feel free to share in the comments down below. Abyssinia.